Chapter 29. The back bedroom of the rental had been converted into the meeting room, with four folding tables pushed together to make one large one. It was covered with newspapers, magazines, and donut boxes. Every morning at 7:30, Klockner and his team met over coffee and pastries to review the night and plan the day. Wes and Chap were always there, and six or seven others joined them, depending on who was in town from Langley. The technicians from the front room sometimes sat in, though Klockner did not require their attendance. Now that Trevor was on their side, they needed fewer people to track him. Or so they thought. Surveillance detected no movement inside his home before 7:30, which was not altogether unusual for a man who often went to bed drunk and woke up late. At 8, while Klockner was still meeting in the back, a technician called the house under the ruse of a wrong number. After 3 rings, the recorder came on, and Trevor announced he was not in, please leave a message. This happened occasionally when he was trying to sleep late, but it usually worked well enough to roust him from bed. Klockner was notified at 8:30 that the house was completely still, no shower, no radio, no television, no stereo. Not a sound from the normal routine. It was entirely possible he'd gotten drunk at home by himself, but they knew he had not spent last night at Pete's. He'd gone to a mall and arrived home apparently sober.
"He could be sleeping," Klockner said, unconcerned. "Where's his car?"
"In his driveway."
At 9, Wes and Chap knocked on Trevor's door, then opened it when there was no answer. The rental sprang to life when they reported there was no sign of him, and that his car was still there. Without panic, Klockner sent people to the beach, to the coffee shops near the Sea Turtle, even to Pete's, which was not yet open. They canvassed the area around his house and office by foot and by car and saw nothing. At 10, Klockner called DeVille at Langley. "The lawyer's missing," was the message. Every flight to Nassau was checked. Nothing turned up. No sign of a Trevor Carson. DeVille's contact in Bahamian Customs could not be located, nor could he find the banking supervisor they'd been bribing. Teddy Maynard was in the middle of a briefing on North Korean troop movements when he was interrupted by an urgent message that Trevor Carson, their drunken lawyer in Neptune Beach, Florida, was missing.
"How can you lose a fool like him?"
Teddy growled at DeVille in a rare display of anger.
"I don't know.
I don't believe this."
"Sorry, Teddy."
Teddy shifted his weight and grimaced from the pain.
"Find him, damn it,"
he hissed. The plane was a Beech Baron, a twin engine owned by some doctors and chartered by Eddie, the pilot Trevor had coaxed out of bed at 6 in the morning, with the promise of cash on the spot and more under the table. The official quote was $2,200 for a round-way trip between Daytona Beach and Nassau. 2 hours each way, total of 4 at $400 an hour, plus some fees for landing and immigration and pilot downtime. Trevor kicked in another $2,000 for Eddie's pocket if the trip took place immediately.